Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. It's been a great week. It's been a rough week. Depends on what day you're going to focus on. Fantastic win for the GOP, for conservatism, for sanity in Virginia. Congrats to Glenn Youngkin. Congrats to Winsome Sears and others. Now, today, though, we have the Biden administration's OSHA mandate coming out. A lot of questions about that. And there's also the big spending bill that is getting pushed back and forth. What's going to happen? Is it going to get passed? And at what level? And what will be in it? We want to bring in somebody who can answer that question with some expertise, some specificity. We have with us now the Senator Tuberville. Senator, thanks so much. We appreciate you joining us here on the show.
Call me Coach. Thank you very much.
Coach, whatever you say, sir, whatever you say. So tell me this. The latest here on this one, and I've been told War Eagle is the preferred chant. Tell me, the latest on this one is that Democrat Senator Joe Manchin is objecting to Nancy Pelosi adding back into this bill, the Biden agenda bill, whatever people want to call it, paid family and medical leave. That's now been put back in by Pelosi. Manchin saying no. What do you think your colleague on the Democrat side, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, is really holding out for here? What's he going to do? And how is the election result Tuesday playing into all this?
Well, that's exactly right. And you brought up, number one, the election results. It looked like they would learn from that. And then, of course, Joe Manchin and Chrystia Sinema, they are, they've been telling them all along what they will go with and what they won't go with. And now Nancy Pelosi's, she's on the other side going, heck, we're not going to listen to all this. We're not going to listen to the American people. We're going to do what we want to do. And so now they're putting things back into this plan, like the child tax credit. And they're basically weaponizing it, putting things in there that are going to be hard for anybody to vote for. What they're trying to do is they're trying to attack the American family. They're just trying to take it away from us. They don't want married couples. They want single individuals. And as we speak already, half the kids in the country right now have one or no parent, and they want to continue that. They feel like that they can be the parents to all these people across the country and as a federal government. And we don't need that. Big government needs to get the heck out of the way and let the Americans, people live their own life. And it's just absolutely amazing. The Democrats feel like that they're the best option for them, and they're definitely not.
Senator, Buck got to go to his first college football game ever. He went to Ole Miss, Alabama. I know you have a little bit of experience in both those places, and we'll talk about that in a moment because I want to get your read on what you think his experience was like. But when is this all going to resolve itself? You came on with us a couple of months ago, and you said, hey, I think Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, they're trying to be somewhat voices of sanity in an insane party at times right now. Is this something that's resolved in your mind by Thanksgiving? Is it Christmas? Does it go into the new year? When does this budget bill that Biden is trying to pass through actually have some sort of conclusion to this story in your mind? How much longer will this go on?
Well, they keep pushing the timetable back.
Yeah.
They can't get anybody to agree. The problem they're having is they've got three different factions in their party. They've got the liberals, and they got a few moderates like Joe and Christian. And then, of course, they've got the very far left. They call themselves progressives. I call them Marxists, to be honest with you. That's what they are. And they can't agree on anything. So we're just sitting back watching what's going on, and clock's running. I don't think that they're going to get anything done, obviously, this week. Everybody's leaving as of today. A lot of people are going out of the country. I know all the Democrats are taking like 20 big jets over to Glasgow to the climate summit, and they'll be burning more carbon than you can imagine. But they're hypocrites. We'll work on it the next 2 weeks after we get back, probably before Thanksgiving. There might be some resolution, or it won't be on our side. We already know how we're going to vote. But, they'll keep pushing it and try to tear down the country a little bit more, spend more money, and put us more in debt, but we're going to fight it every day.
We're talking to Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama. Senator, I had posed this early in the show to Jim Jordan on the House side. I'm just wondering what your take is. it seems like the Democrats are riding all their hopes on getting this bill through, right? So you're sitting in the Senate, you're having to deal with this and look at the different iterations of it. Now Pelosi's adding things in, Manchin's saying it has to come out. But the whole Build Back Better Biden agenda is apparently hanging in the balance here. What is it that they think this is going to do? I mean, I think the Democrats, we would be making a mistake if we didn't at least see that they have some kind of a strategy here to try to help them out in the midterms. What is the top of their agenda item list that they think is going to actually help them win elections, the next election, that's in this bill? Is it the paid family and medical leave? I mean, what are the goodies? What are the sweets that they are distributing, so to speak?
Well, you know, number one, they're power hungry. And this is a wish list that they've been putting together for years and years and years. They're just trying to get dependence on the government from more and more people. That's the only way they can keep power. So they know they're going to get their tail handed to them next November in 1 year because of all the things that they hadn't made a decision from the Biden administration all the way through the House, the Democratic House, the Democrat Senate. They hadn't made a decision for the American people in what, 10 months. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing. Just one after another, they've been trying to tear the country down. And, you know, they're woke. They believe in welfare. They don't believe in working for anything. They just want power. And it absolutely amazes me that we've only got two Democrats that are fighting against this, Sinema and Manchin. There should be 10 or 15 more that should be fighting against this in the Senate. Now, I understand you want to do some things because that they believe in causes. You know, we elect people on the Republican side as leaders. They elect people because of causes. And they had that cause in mind. They're going to keep pushing that. And so this country is in trouble because of the critical race theory. Our education is really bad. And that's one of the reasons I ran. And I think it all woke up because of this new governor in Virginia. Youngkin brought it up luckily in the last 3 weeks, and he won because of education, because parents don't care about Republicans, Democrats. They care about educating their kids. And I've told y'all this before. I went in hundreds of schools over the last few years, obviously been coaching, and it is our education system. We're 37th in the world in math. Now, come on. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we've got to make some changes. We don't. We're going the wrong direction.
Senator, 490-page OSHA rule requiring many of the people listening to us right now or their employer to mandate the COVID vaccine. How important is it for lawsuits to be filed, for people to stand up against what I believe is a colossal government overreach as it pertains to mandating the vaccine for tens of millions of people all over the country, not giving them the choice, but mandating it from the global, from the federal government?
Yeah, again, it's a huge overreach by federal government. We don't need mandates. Our supply chains are just absolutely horrific. We can't get truck drivers, and they don't care. I mean, they just absolutely want to keep pushing the narrative. We know better than anybody else. We're going to mandate. And I was in a hearing with Dr. Fauci and Walensky, the CDC director. And my question was, number one, I said, listen, I just came from a business where you had to win or you got fired. As of last week, John Hopkins University said we had this year lost 353,000 people to the pandemic. They had died. Well, at this point, we've already hit that this year. So we've had a year with the other administration, Trump administration, and now we're only 10 months into this administration, and they're getting ready to well surpass the death rate. And we've got two vaccines. We've got therapeutics. We've known what's going on. Everybody's wearing a mask. It's out of control. We can't get any straight answers. Everybody wants to give you a runaround. We really need a change in our team in terms of running this pandemic because we're not making any progress at all. But what do they want to do? They want to make mandates. They want to control every move that we make. And it's not because of the mandate. It's because of Big Brother government wants to control you.
Senator Tuberville, for a lot of people, what they saw happen earlier this week was a bit of hope, at least in the political sense, that next year could be a whole lot better. It feels for a lot of folks like the bleeding was stopped, so to speak, or at least lessened when it comes to our freedoms being under assault, when it comes to what felt like a year of just constant Democrat-enabled government overreach and authoritarianism going into this now midterm election year. I'm just wondering, one, how do you think, I mean, obviously your biggest concern as a state is your home state, Alabama. How do you think the Senate map looks for the GOP for this year based on what we've just seen? And also, what do you think the national narrative should be about how we take back power?
Well, Tuesday was a referendum on the country, not just Virginia or New Jersey. It was a referendum on the entire country of not Democrat, Republican, but quit screwing around with our country. You're messing it up. And as I said earlier, the Biden administration has done exactly opposite, really, what the American people need. They don't need more taxes. We need closed borders. We need a strong military. We need crime out of the streets. But the thing that we've got to remember out of this is we've got another year to go. You would think this week, and after the election up here in the House and the Senate, you know, that the Speaker and the leader Schumer would be pulling back a little bit, saying, you know, let's take what we can get. Let's start communicating a little bit better because American people have spoken. It's just the opposite. I mean, they're running as fast as they can to get their agenda through, but we're going to have to work hard to block it. We've got to depend on, thank God for Manchin and Sinema, because this stuff would have already been run through and it would be a disaster. But we've got hope. Tuesday night gave us hope, that the American people woke up. This is, you know, the Republicans, we want education. I think that's going to be the hot button going into the next 6-7 months. But there's a lot of things that we can talk about to make better. And we've got to do better as a Republican Party ourselves.
Senator Tuberville, you just mentioned that you were in a hearing with Dr. Fauci. And I know Rand Paul demanded that he resign in that hearing. In your mind, should Dr. Fauci resign from his position?
Well, as I just said, we've already hit the mark of deaths of how many, yeah, many we had in 12 months under Trump. We've already had that in 10 months. And I told Dr. Fauci that, you know, if we don't start making some improvement and get some straight answers, everybody said, well, everybody take the vaccine. The vaccine is working a little bit. It's not working a whole lot. Now, I took the vaccine. I believe in doing as much as you can to stop it. But there's a lot of people I know that have had the vaccine that's gotten sick and got very sick, and some people have died. So we've got I think we're going to have another team put together. It's not going to happen, but I wish we could get another team of different doctors, different scientists, to make different moves, because it's like, you know, first half we played here, playing what's happened. We're behind. We're losing, and it's getting worse. And we got to make sure that if we, you know, we got to block the blitz. We got to do better at running the football. We got to throw the ball down the field. And that's what these people have to do. Make some decisions and try to make them work. But just mandating people take this vaccine is not what the American people want and need.
Senator Tuberville of Alabama, sir, thanks for being with us. We're calling a blitz for freedom here.
You got it. Thank you.
See, Clay, I could, you know.
What a sports reference review there.
I do the sports stuff. If there's a dog in your home, we have a suggestion on how to make your dog even healthier. They're members of the family, after all. We want to make them happy and healthy. We want them around for a long time. But the problem is that most dog food is dead food. All dry dog food must be able to sit on the store shelf for 2 to 3 years. To accomplish this, all dry kibble dog food manufacturing sterilization process to kill anything that might be alive in your pet's food. In the process, they kill all the good stuff too. That's not good. That's why there's a food supplement for dogs that I love and my dog loves called Ruff Greens. R-U-F-F. That's how you spell it. Ruff Greens. It's amazing. Contains probiotics, enzymes, vitamins, and healthy microbacteria for your beloved pooch. Gotta keep them healthy. Ruff Greens will make your dog feel even better, and you can eat the same food the dog's currently eating. Just add this in. It's an additive. You don't change anything. You just get this, sprinkle some in. The folks at Ruff Greens are so confident your dog's going to love it, they have a special offer. Go to Ruff Greens, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB, and they're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB.
Welcome back, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Hope all of you are having a fantastic Thursday. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single moment. You just heard us talking with Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. We talked with Jim Jordan at the top of the second hour of the show. So much discussion surrounding the vaccine mandate and all of the impacts that it's going to bring to bear. I thought, Buck, you would enjoy this Charles Below is a New York Times columnist.
Oh, I know
he
Charles.
He tweeted out, you know Charles, you guys used to be on CNN together occasionally.
A couple of times, yeah.
He tweeted out a map of the nationwide hotspots for COVID and all of the southern United States, the places that Dr. Fauci told us COVID would be feasting on because college football stadiums were opening up. He says, I'm mystified by how these southern states have such low rates of COVID when many of their governors haven't followed CDC guidance. Someone please explain this to me. Now, it's easy to make fun of him, but the number of blue checks out there, Buck, who have never been willing to actually look at the data themselves and have just been complete and total COVID sheep is staggering. Florida has right now one-third the rate of COVID as California, less than half the rate of New York. No vaccine mandates, no mask mandates. Much of COVID is seasonal. Florida has their rise during the summer when everybody goes inside because it's super hot and everybody's inside with the air conditioning. That's a strong theory. And the vaccine mandates, the CDC rules on masking, distancing, everything else, they never worked. They've always been a farce.
What you end up seeing here, and this is going to happen a lot, and it, by the way, I think everybody should be prepared for this, particularly over the winter season, when I think, unfortunately, even in places like New York and places like Los Angeles and Houston, where they have, you know, Democrats running the city, at least, and pretty high vaccination rates overall, there's going to be COVID. I mean, there's going to be a COVID wave. How big it is, hopefully very, very small, but there'll be a COVID wave. And there'll be people who look at the data and say, but this can't be, but this can't be. Clay, they think that they're basing these decisions on the science, but what we keep running up against are people for whom their ideology creates a cognitive dissonance with the science. It cannot be that Fauci and the rest have been wrong on this once again. It can't be that the numbers I'm seeing are what they are. And so don't think that just because, I mean, this has been the case on masking all along, right? Every time we show or see that masking doesn't work, they go, no, it still works. And you just say, how can you believe this? But they do. Doesn't matter.
It's magical thinking. And unfortunately, it has an absolutely massively deleterious effect on the overall country as a whole. And when we come back in the next segment, we'll dive into the latest on this COVID vaccine mandate. We'll play Dr. Fauci calling out, being called out by Rand Paul as a liar. I think you're going to enjoy that clip. All that and more. But first, Buck, what you got for us?
I mean, I always enjoy when Rand Paul calls Fauci a liar.
Doubt.
It's like it should be my ringtone on my phone. If we've learned anything since 2020, there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Well, that's for sure. Over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood, the original superfood. I've taken Texas Superfood before. I'm going to start taking it again, my friends. It's fantastic. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, so you can build your body's defense from the inside out. You know how your grandmother's always told you, or, you know, someone in your family, you got to eat your fruits and veggies? But with busy schedules and fast food, a lot of people don't do it. Texas Superfood is the safety net for the American diet. It'll boost your immune system better than anything else out there on the market. So if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
We're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
You have said that I'm unwilling to take any responsibility for the current pandemic. I have no responsibility for the current pandemic.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Things getting a little testy on Capitol Hill today. Oh, yes, between Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky and the little tyrant totalitarian Smurf Fauci running around in his lab coat. Well, actually, these days, just a suit, trying to ruin everyone and destroy the country. I mean, that's not what he thinks he's doing. That's what I think he's doing. Rand Paul pointing out that Fauci somehow has no responsibility, not just from the gain of function Wuhan research funding perspective, but also more broadly, how is it that we've had the response to COVID that we have had, where you look at this, more people died in the last year than died under Donald Trump's last year in office, right? So more people have died under Biden with a vaccine.
By the way, with no blame being put on Biden hardly at all
whatsoever.
By anyone
right.
in the media. Everyone
no.
said Donald Trump has blood on his hands. It's disgraceful how he's handled COVID. Now more people have died, as you point out, with a vaccine under Joe Biden, with an ample time to know what exactly is going on. And virtually no media member that I have ever heard of has said Joe Biden has blood on his hands. This is a disgrace.
Yeah, they weaponized people's emotions during the spread of a respiratory virus that is dangerous, particularly to the elderly and those with serious medical conditions, outstanding medical conditions they already had, pre-existing ones. And they did this because they wanted to put somebody that never should have been within 100 feet of the Oval Office. I know he was vice president for 8 years, but at least that was not the top job. Never should have been the president of the United States, but they weaponized fear. And then you look at, well, who's accountable for all this? Somehow Fauci is the chief advisor. And I'm going to say this right now. Trump should have fired him.
Yes.
I know, you know, Trump should have fired him. There's so much about President Trump that I'm such a supporter of, and the movement and everything else. Some of the personnel decisions, and this may come up again, because obviously if we have Trump run again, we're going to have to talk about this, because there were personnel decisions that even Trump, for anybody who's going to write me an angry email, even Trump says he made some horrible personnel decisions. Fauci should have been fired. So don't give me this, oh, but Buck, you don't understand.
The one thing I would say is Biden would have brought Fauci back, and they would have treated him like a conquering hero, right? As soon as Biden got back in his job, he would have found a way to bring back Dr. Fauci if Trump had fired him.
Absolutely true.
So
the problem
still
is that
here.
But he would be here, but we might be in a slightly different place if we hadn't had the continuation. Fauci's been calling the shots, Clay, the entire time.
Yes.
We've never been able to try a different approach from public messaging, because the public messaging for now, whatever it is, at 20 months, has been through this evil smurf who will not go away. And you see this guy somehow, it's nothing's ever his fault. It's always the data, and I'm relying on the expertise, and I'm an infectious disease. This guy is a megalomaniac. He is bad news. We have seen this. You and I have both seen this from the very beginning. And one of the only people that holds him to account is Senator Rand Paul, who pushes him on these issues. Fauci clearly lied about the Wuhan funding. Fauci clearly should have known, if he didn't know, about the eating dogs, puppy dogs' faces with sand fleas experiment in Tunisia that was funded by the NIAID. And here we are about to go into the winter months. He's got vaccine mandates in place. He never speaks out against any restriction as too much. Every restriction for this guy, every infringement on freedom is good. It's like another dollar in the bank account of totalitarianism.
He's never come out and said, you know what, I think we went a little too hard here. I think we went a little too far. And now, as a result, we have got, I mean, think about this, Buck, 490 pages of OSHA regulations mandating the vaccine for anyone with 100 or more employees. It's 84 million people. And by the way, did you see this? As we've been talking, they now are talking about lowering that number to 30 to try to get even more people covered by these OSHA regulations. The lawsuits have to be filed. And by the way, this is where the Supreme Court really has to step up. They, you know,
I don't think they're going to, can I just tell you, Clay?
Afraid.
I don't think they're going to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, I think they're going to go with the mandate.
I'm calling them out as a lawyer. If you are not willing to stand up to what I believe is the most unconstitutional, expansionist government overreach that I can remember occurring in my life, then I don't know why you have any desire to be a Supreme Court justice in the, because look, this is a legacy defining opinion. This is something that will be looked at 100 years from now, because this will not be the only time that the government tries to overreach. Unfortunately, this will probably be not the last time that we're ever faced with a pandemic in the world. It's going to happen again. It happened 100 years ago. I hope it doesn't happen for another 100 years. But these are the kind of opinions that live forever. If not now, when?
Well, Clay, the problem that I have with the Supreme Court already is that there were clear infringements on First Amendment liberty, First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion. They were shutting down churches while you could still go to Best Buy and get a big box TV, because church was too dangerous, but stores weren't. That is an outrageous affront to the First Amendment. The Supreme Court did not step up the way that they should have because judges, just like prosecutors, just like lawyers, just like everybody, are scared too. They don't want to have people waiting outside their homes. They don't want to be, you know, screamed at and say they have blood on their hands. So is this Supreme Court going to step up here? Now, remember, there are a few who would. Justice Thomas would do it. I mean, we know there Alito would do it, but are we going to get to the 5-4 necessary?
We should.
Because I think it would be 5-4.
I think we need to.
I'm hoping so. I mean, look at the implementation. We mentioned this before, and I wanted to bring it back into our discussion. For everyone listening now, San Francisco, which, of course, the politics there have been insane. And they're ruining. It takes a while to ruin a city.
It's a beautiful,
fantastic
place.
De Blasio has been ruining New York for the last, you know, however many, 8 years, 10 years, however long he's been in office at this point. I've been saying this guy's ruining the city. He's ruining the city. Now everyone sees it. Now the trash is piled up and it's more dangerous and it's dirty and there's problems. Same thing has happened in Portland. Same thing has happened in Seattle. San Francisco, in some ways more than anywhere else, you got all the vagrancy, the homelessness. They're now focusing on making five-year-olds. Five-year-olds will have to provide proof of vaccination to go into a McDonald's.
It's crazy.
How the heck are they going to even enforce? Think about the stupidity of this. You go in, you're in San Francisco visiting. Let's say you got family there. You got your three-year-old with you. Do they have to?
You're asking employees, Buck. This is where the rubber meets the road for parents. You're asking employees out there, Buck, to ID five-year-olds. You know, we ask people to ID if you're 21 or not, if you can buy a beer. You're going to have employees in a McDonald's having to stand there and figure out, is this a three-year-old? Is it a four-year-old? Is it a five-year-old? Six-year-old? Like, and then you're going to ID them, and they're going to have to, like, what five-year-old ever has proof of ID? You know, we had to go get passports, you know, for young kids to travel out of the country before. Just getting a kid an ID at that age is a monumental undertaking. That's to leave the country. Most kids don't have any ID.
To be entirely compliant with the San Francisco lunacy, you'd have to carry your three-year-old's birth certificate around
to
with you.
To prove that they're not five, yes.
To prove that they don't have to actually show vaccine papers to get in. Friends, this is madness. And to the point about Fauci, because people have asked me, Buck, it feels almost personal with you. And it is personal, because this guy has ruined a lot of lives and destroyed a lot of freedom. He has no humility whatsoever. He's a vicious little tyrant. He's the worst kind of bureaucrat. So I do take it personally. I think everyone listening should take it personally. But here's a perfect example. The fact that little Fauci won't stand up on a soapbox or two so we can see him and tell everybody that what's going on in San Francisco with a vaccine mandate, an indoor vaccine mandate for children, is excessive, shows you he is a coward. He is a creature of the system and the apparatus of control. He has never once stood against these restrictions, and we know a lot of them were dumb. Why won't Fauci come out and say, for example,
retrospect, we never should have put criminal tape around outdoor playgrounds.
Never. He never says it, Clay. He never
that
says,
happened.
You know, we probably shouldn't have arrested paddleboarders out on the ocean alone because the droplets would intermingle with the saline air. And no, he never, ever steps off and steps back because he does exactly what his handlers and the Biden administration and the CNN and New York Times audience wants him to. He is a coastal elite. He is a tyrant. And until he goes, we're going to keep having the messaging directed through someone who refuses to admit error. I mean, Clay, his thing about the teachers unions and closing schools. Oh, we shouldn't have to go back. Yeah, no, of course we shouldn't have to go back because we'd see that you just bent the knee to your Democrat overlords and kids got shut out of school because of it. That is what happened.
And you and I were on the radio getting castigated all over social media in June and July saying kids needed to go back to school. The data was clear in 2020, over a year ago. And remember, the American Association of Pediatricians even backed us up before they got scared and shut down. It's crazy. Tunnel to Towers, by the way, believes in doing good for others. I'm still glad some people do. Their actions speak as loudly as their words. Between now and the end of this year, this foundation will fulfill a commitment to award 200 mortgage-free homes to soldiers and families of soldiers involved in our nation's war on terror. These are families with the need for a secure home or a specialty-made home equipped to accommodate a soldier who suffered life-altering injuries. One family after another, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is carrying out their mission.
It's amazing the work that they do. And the impact that they have on these families is tremendous. This is a caring organization that does everything they can for our warriors, our fallen warriors, and their families. Next week on Veterans Day, you'll see and hear of their recognition for every member of our military service who made the ultimate sacrifice in the war on terror. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Catch up on all the hottest interviews and segments with the free Clay and Buck in a Hurry email newsletter. Delivered directly to your inbox, you'll receive Clay and Buck's take on all the stories that matter most. The Clay and Buck in a Hurry email. Sign up today for free at clayandbuck.com.
Welcome back in. I'm Clay Travis. He's Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the Thursday edition of the program. Our thanks to Senator Tommy Tuberville, who was with us earlier in this hour, and Congressman Jim Jordan, who was with us at the top of the second hour. We're going to continue to have to fight battles, Buck, because I've got, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I've got the 490-page OSHA regulations as it pertains to vaccine mandates that I have saved on my computer here to be able to go through. But I mean, I just want you to think about that for a minute. 490 pages of unconstitutional federal government overreach, which is going to impact tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of people in the United States and a huge percentage of our overall listener base as well when it comes to mandated vaccines, something that no one in our lives has ever seen, to my knowledge, as it pertains to virtually every job. And I think we need to talk about this too, Buck. We're dealing with one of the worst supply crises that has ever existed. And some of the most impacted people here are going to be truck drivers who are suddenly, I mean, I have heard that some of these companies have a 50% vaccination rate. A lot of these guys work as independent contractors. Many of the truck drivers are not surrounded in close proximity by people all day long. They're in their trucks driving, many of them listening to us right now, Buck. And it's wild to think about how much this is going to make our supply chain issues infinitely worse. This act alone, it feels as if yet another sign is being given that the Biden administration has no knowledge whatsoever of basic business.
If you want to see commerce in this country come to an almost screeching halt, take all the truckers off the roads. Without the truckers, you're not going to have, never mind just lawnmowers and the tragedy of the treadmill delayed, as Jen Psaki said. You're not going to have milk. You're not going to have bread. You're not going to have medicine. This is how it gets. Shipping is how we get our stuff to America. Truckers are how we get our stuff around America. We all yes. know that. So if you start taking them off the roads, they're looking at pretty extreme measures too. They're saying we might try to lower the age and get a whole bunch of truckers who are like 18 years old
That's
on the roads.
That's definitely what you want. People managing big rigs all over the country who have never driven one before.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was hard enough as a college kid with the wood paneled Roadmaster station wagon that I had. I can't imagine having a 16 wheeler. So, I got to tell you, there's a couple things here. One is when you dive into the OSHA regulations, I'm very curious, Clay. I know this is going to be fun reading for you tonight. Very curious.
What a nerd I am, by the way, that I've saved the OSHA regulations to read.
This is how he rocks out, friends. This is, you know, when he's not calling the sports stuff, this is how he's rocking out.
Yeah.
No, but really, I think you're going to see they'll probably make it onerous and annoying to get exemptions because they see the Clay Travis workaround, not that it's your workaround, you know what I mean? What you've been saying, they're going to try to make sure that that's as annoying as possible so that they can still on legal basis turn around and tell a judge, oh, there are religious exemptions, but they make it very hard. That's probably part of the 490 pages. And I think this is just also a reminder for everybody this week to focus on the positive, right? We got the two big events this week, the Tuesday election and now the vaccine mandate rollout. Those are the two big things, I think, in the news cycle right now. One of them is obviously very positive. The other one is very troubling. If you want accountability, folks, if you want this stuff to stop, you have to take power from these people. That's it. While they're in power, while the Biden administration still has the ability to do this stuff or isn't worried about losing the Congress, isn't worried about losing a big portion of the power that they have, they're going to keep doing this. We have to stop them. They're not going to tire of this, Clay. That's what I think we all have to get ready for. We have to get acclimated to that reality.
There's no doubt. And by the way, I would continue to emphasize, one, I'm going to hold out as long as I can on the vaccine. and the mandates make me want to hold out even more than I otherwise would. And I don't know when that is going to become a necessity or if it is at some point for me, but just know that I know a lot of you out there are the same as me. You're going to hold out as long as you can, especially if you've already had COVID. And then the other thing here, Buck, is I just find it so wildly disappointing, yet also predictable, that we kicked the Democrats' ass massively on Tuesday, and they had a choice. They could accede to the will of the American public and govern in a somewhat moderate fashion, or they could continue to embrace radical left-wing politics. And what did they immediately do? They try to pass the infrastructure and the largest expansion of government budget in most of our lives, and also simultaneously levy an unconstitutional, in my opinion, vaccine mandate on the country. This happens within less than 48 hours of an all-time shellacking that they just took. It is dispiriting, but I think what we have to keep in mind is remain happy warriors and just think a year from now, their control of the House and their control of the Senate is going to be over.
Just want to say, if you're in the Milwaukee area tonight, I'll be speaking at the No Better Friend organization. That's why I'm out here. No Better Friend. Also joined by Vivek Ramaswamy. Remember we had Vivek on?
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic. Great book, Woke Inc.
Yeah, we're going to be having a great time chatting about all the stuff Glenn are talking about here on the show today. So please come out to that. I also want to say a big thanks to our affiliate station here in Milwaukee, the good land. WISN, making me feel so at home. Clay, they even brought me potato skins in the middle of the show. I mean, that was like manna from heaven, man. That was amazing. I got to tell you, right in the belly they went.
No, that's fantastic. Number one, by the way, in Milwaukee for the show. Thank you all listeners
that's
in
right.
October. And number one in Houston, the two cities that we just visited. Biggest radio shows in our time slot in those cities. We love you guys all over the country. Thanks for listening.
Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.